And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world, especially two places. One of them is East 66th Street with a beautiful nose, and Boudelier's Point with a beautiful little one. To my good friends and to all of you out there who are listening to Coast Community Radio, it's a beautiful day. It is. It's 65 degrees. I understand it's 70 in New York, but we like it like this. There's quite a breeze going, and it's a gray sky. And I'm glad the breeze wasn't stronger this morning. I want to send this out to all of us who live in wooden houses in the country. One of our biggest fears, fire. So may the fires stay in the wood heaters where they belong and not burning down the spaces. It's time for Arts Live and Local. Got some music to start us out, and I want to celebrate a couple of things. First one is that I heard and read that Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus is closing its last circus this Sunday in New York. And we're pleased to know, and we hope all of the circuses, the animal circuses, will go the same direction. Also, today, coincidentally or perhaps not, is Endangered Species Day. So there's lots going on in that world with the grizzlies in Yellowstone, the giraffes, the vaquita, smallest porpoises, and lots more animals we don't even know about. Here's to all of them.
I am here. I am whole as I am. Say, I am loved as I am. I am grateful and I'm free. And I'm as perfect as can be. I am here. I am whole as I am. Nothing can illuminate the darkness like a serenade. Nothing can make peace like a song. We've got a ways to go, but then we're closer than we've ever been. So let's walk together on and on. I am here. I am whole as I. Take a photograph of everybody as they laugh. Put it in the book entitled Us. I am here.
I am here. And we are all here. And we're working in community for a lot of the same things and a lot of different things. And it's a good thing. That was Summer Osborne, and she will be here. Thank you, Margaret. She will be here playing at the Pride Block Party Saturday, June 10th, and she will probably be playing somewhere else in town as well. And we'll get you that information when we have it. You can tune into Women's Music every Wednesday night at 8:30 and catch some fantastic music. Right now, my first guest is here, and I am delighted because it wasn't easy to get here. She's a city girl, but I don't know. Did you ride the buses when you were a kid?
I certainly did.
You did?
Well, buses, trains, trolleys, whatever they had going on, I was on them, yeah.
And now here you are. But she came up from Portland. My guest is Judith Arcana, and I'm just going to give you a little background because her background is very rich and very full and diverse as well. Born and raised in the Great Lakes region, Judith Arcana has lived in the Pacific Northwest since 1995. She writes poems, stories, essays, and books, including a well-loved biography of Grace Paley. Oh, I love Grace Paley.
What's not to love?
What's not to love? And the poetry collections, What If Your Mother, Fourth Period English. Do you name these yourself?
Of course I do. It's my work. What are you saying?
Okay, folks, you get the picture, right? Fourth Period English, The Parachute Jump Effect, and Hear from Somewhere Else, which received the Editor's Choice Chapbook Award from Turtle Island Quarterly. Her story, soon to be a major motion picture, won the first Minerva Rising Prose Prize and was published as a chapbook. Keisha and Joni and Jane, that's capital J, A-N-E, her zine about what happens when Roe v. Wade is overturned in the near future, is rooted in her work as a Jane in Chicago's underground abortion services. Judith has written a collection of Jane stories, and perhaps there'll be a book someday? Is that?
That would be a great thing.
Okay.
They've almost all been published individually in magazines, but yeah, a book would be good.
And I think we need it. And the young women especially, young people especially. And she hosts a monthly poetry show on KABU Community Radio. And that would be our now sister station, originally our mother station. And for more information, you can go to her website, Judith Arcana, that's ARCANA.com. Welcome to KMUN.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Is this your first time at KMUN?
Yes.
Oh, good. So I do get to introduce you as a KMUN virgin, obviously not a radio virgin since you're all over KABU already. So
yeah.
It's great. So we met because a mutual friend mentioned that you have a new book out, and it is a beauty, Announcements from the Planetarium. And this is a book of your poetry. And, you know, immediately before I even started looking at more, I saw that Naomi Shihab Nye had written a blurb about it, and she's one of my favorites. And I thought, oh, I can't wait to get my hands on this. And now I have my hands on it. So the idea was for Judith to come to Astoria, and which is a place alive with poetry, and give us a reading. And so we all got together, the library and Judith and I, and got a date, and then scheduled the radio, and then...
And then, this very day, folks, this day on which you are listening to us talk, we found out that that is actually not such a great idea, that particular date. So, the reading will not be at the Astoria Library on June 2nd, as some publicity, including my own website, I'll change it when I get back to Portland, have already told you. It's likely to be the 1st of June, but the definite info will be on my website starting tomorrow,
great.
Saturday.
And we'll get it out on the radio as
that
well.
That would be great,
here.
Too.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
So I will be reading at your library, just not when I thought I would.
Right, and the reason for that is that, as I mentioned, poetry is alive and well, and writing is alive and well in Astoria, which is a wonderful thing. And that happens to be a big poetry night. Rain Magazine is happening that night, the reading. And then also Manzanita Huffman Gallery has a word and image show. So we have a very healthy group of poets here that meets last Tuesday of the month. Oh, my gosh. I even go, but now I have to check. And it's at Winecraft, and you can actually be on that list, and then you'll know everything that's going on. But most of them are already engaged in the game of poetry, and so Judith's going to come a different time. But right now, we've got her here. So where do we start? Did you write as a child as well, or...
I don't think I wrote as a child. I think that by the time I entered my teens, I had the idea that I wanted to, but also I'm so old that I did not know of women writers.
Oh,
and that was, you know, Emily Dickinson, of course.
Right.
But that might have been it, you know, when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a woman, it would have been the sainted Emily. And, you know, that's a good one. She was a genius. But still, you know, it didn't occur to me that that was something I might do, even though I guess it's fair to say I longed for it. Mm. I was a wordy kid. My family always said, this one, when she grows up, she'll be an actor or she'll be a lawyer. It never occurred to them.
See?
It was amazing to me that they could even, when I look back on it, that they could think those things for a girl, but not a writer. They didn't think of that, clever though they were.
So when did the transition happen? When did you...
I did write some stuff in college and was published in the Campus Literary Magazine. I went to a few colleges. This was at the University of Illinois. And then little bits here and there. And then I became what would have been expected for a word kid or a word woman by then, which is I became an English teacher.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, I learned that there were a few other women.
Right.
And I thought, what about this? And then, bam, that was the second wave of women's movement in the United States. When I was a teacher, it was in the 60s, and we were learning so fast we could hardly keep up with ourselves. And I really started writing in the 60s and
70s. So were you still teaching at the time that you were writing, or did you
give
that?
Although... the teaching was my main shot in terms of energy put out. But yeah, I think I wrote the very first bits in the last years of the 1960s.
Okay, so now what grades were you teaching?
Freshmen, juniors,
high school.
Senior. Oh, yes,
okay.
Sorry, high school students.
Did you share with your students that you were writing as well?
I think I might have, because I did teach a creative writing class, and I was part of a team that taught a humanities course, and of course taught quote-unquote regular English at the various, this was when levels came in, you know, when they separated kids, and I taught at the various levels, and I'm pretty sure I did.
I'm just wondering, because that can be quite an inspiration to find out.
That you know an actual human who does this.
Right, and a woman at that, so apropos of your own experience.
Yeah, well, in the 70s, I taught in colleges in Chicago, and I definitely was writing and sending stuff out to get published, and definitely talked about it with the students there, college students, absolutely, and ever since.
Yeah, and you don't even know the repercussions of that.
I don't really. Every now and then, because of the net, I get a note from someone who says, I was in your and it was wonderful. I mean, maybe there are people who didn't think it was wonderful, but they don't send me notes, and that's fine. That's fine. Don't consider this encouragement.
Keep it to yourself,
right? Exactly. But the ones who write, they do say stuff like that. And
lovely.
So I know that it matters when you do that.
Absolutely.
No question.
Now, you were mentioned in the 60s and 70s, and when I was just now reading, we mentioned the Janes. Can you tell folks, because there are a lot of people who have no idea what that means?
Sure. In the late 60s, wait a sec. Pardon that cough, folks. In the late 60s and then on up until a few months after the Supreme Court Roe decision, there was a group of women in Chicago, of whom I was one for a two-year period, who first did some referrals, then learned to do counseling, and then it's a long story, which fortunately is available in various forms. We learned to do the medical work as well to help women and girls who were seeking abortion health care in years when it was illegal. And that, and then the service, we called it, the official name was the Abortion Counseling Service of the Chicago Women's Liberation Union, which is a very long name. And so nobody called it that. We, the Janes, we called it the service. We always did. We still do. But now, in the history of both women's political movement in the United States and abortion access and reproductive justice action, people have come to call us Jane.
Yeah.
The service itself is simply called Jane, and the women who are members of the service or were members of the service, some of us are no longer alive because that's what happens over time, are also called Janes.
And how did you go from writing and teaching to being a Jane, which, as you mentioned, you're learning some pretty heavy-duty skills.
Yes, absolutely. Well, a lot of stuff, as you know, in life, this happens, was going on at the same time. So that while I was learning both counseling and how illegal work happens in a major city and what the relationships are among the cops and the mob and the good docs, people who would do it, and the non-docs who were also good people, and of course the bad people who did it just for money and sometimes did very bad things and so on. While I was learning all of that, I was also, of course, reading voraciously, learning the history of women, learning the history of midwives, who, of course, always did abortions. Mm-hmm. Midwives covered all of the possible needs that women have around our lives in terms of maternity, with wanted children and situations where the child simply cannot be carried to term, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so just like the other Janes, I had various things going on at the same time. Interestingly, I didn't actually write about my work as a Jane until some years later. The very first thing I ever wrote about the service was on the 10-year anniversary of the Roe decision. I wrote an op-ed for the Chicago Sun-Times identifying myself as a Jane and talking about the politics of legal and illegal abortion and who does it and what it means and how I think it should be done.
Were you and the others threatened in terms legally?
Well, we were busted once, which is amazing when you think of it. I mean, the service operated for several years, and to be busted only once suggests that, in fact, this is what we know and believe. The police knew about us, because they always know. And we were so not in it for the money that they never even tried to hit on us for money, because we weren't, you know, when we were running the whole thing, when we finally had become a clinic underground, we charged $100 or whatever you could afford. And sometimes whatever you could afford was nothing. And sometimes it was $23. And sometimes it was actually $100, which was not common, but happened. So, wait, I forget where I'm going with this.
Being threatened by.
Oh, yes, right. So we never felt threatened. The mob didn't want anything to do with us. We were penny ante. We were of no interest. The cops were actually, we know this, that individual police officers did send people to us. The clergy sent people to us because we were good. We were safe. We never hurt anybody. And we were doing it for reasons that were about the lives of women and girls, not about, hey, this is where you can make a lot of money because it's illegal, you know, which was what most people who did abortion work were about.
Fascinating, actually. Okay, folks, so you can learn all about that because there is a lot to learn. But right now I want to switch over to your brand new book. Now, who does the art? Well, who designs the
Well, actually, wonderfully enough, the publisher, well, there are two publishers in this case. This is all Oregon people. This is Oregon Small Press Action. And I love these guys. They are so wonderful to work with. One of my, the previous chapbook, actually, this is a full-length collection, but previously a chapbook was done by them. Anyway, Ryan Forsyth, who is the editor and publisher of Left Fork Books, recently, Mike would say, pressed Michael Spring, who is an Oregon poet, into service as an editor and publisher for a new poetry imprint, which is
the Flowstone,
which put out this book, Announcements from the Planetarium. So I've worked with both of these guys, and Ryan is the designer in addition to being the head honcho at Left Fork. The art, this is one of the wonderful things about working with such thoughtful and decent people in publishing, they say, well, have you got any ideas for the cover art? And I had found these two pictures, the one on the front and the one on the back. You folks can't see it, but if you go to my website, you'll find a picture of the front cover.
My guest is Judith Arcana, ARCANA.com. Go on.
Thank you. Thank you. There's a website that allows folks to use the art, the photography, for free. Now, of course, we gave credit because even though we didn't have to pay for it, and their names are in here. The front cover image is by a brilliant photographer named Jeremy Thomas, and the back cover image is by another brilliant photographer named Greg Racozzi. And Unsplash is the name of the website. So for this book, we used their, because Announcements from the Planetarium, folks, here's a little, here's a reveal. These covers are all about the stars. Yes. They're all about what you see when you go to the planetarium and look through the eyes.
Now, is that the name of one of the poems?
It is actually the name of one of the poems.
Now,
yes.
Do you have you picked out something you could read for us?
I have. I picked out a couple
great.
Of little ones.
Okay.
Let's see. Here's, I was going to say one of my favorites, but obviously I do like everything in this book. But, you know, no matter what your work is, I was watching the glass blowers when I came up the hill.
Yes.
Your neighbors around the corner.
Fern Hill.
No matter what your work is, there's stuff that you make that somehow, this one, I love it.
Yeah.
The other stuff is really good, and I'm proud of it, but this one, I love it. Anyway, this one is a funny one that I love. It's called John, Paul, George, and Ringo Thought About It. Now we know the answer to the Beatles' questions, asked when I was not yet 30, but wondering, will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Turns out, some will. Some won't. This is something I didn't know yet when they were first singing that.
Of course.
Okay, here's here's a completely different sort of piece.
There's quite a variety in the length of your pieces here.
Yes,
I see,
the length and the form. Yeah, that's what I'm doing here. Sometimes they're more similar in other collections, but yes, definitely in this collection, it's thematically aligned, but not size and shape. Okay, this one's called Metamorphoses. I may have become the old woman who lives in a cottage deep in the woods. I might be the wolf who meets a child coming to visit, carrying her basket of bread and jam for Granny. Perhaps I'm a wicked stepmother, urging her man to abandon his children, or the shallow, careless father who does. I could be one of the thickly branching oaks, a rough pebble among their roots, a mossy stone, or a beetle climbing over it. What if I were an ivory owl, swooping at those cheeky squirrels, taking one while the others scatter in terror of my wings? No reason not to be a fox, clever and plush, or a mushroom rising silently out of the dense bracken. Even the dark bird who watches from the top of the tall aspen when children leave home wearing mittens and scarves. I see those children waiting for the yellow bus. They have no idea.
Wow. Nice.
As you can see, even though it's quite different from the poem about the Beatles, it is about getting older and knowing things and thinking things that I didn't when the Beatles were singing directly to me personally. Yeah.
So are all of the poems then related somehow to growing wiser, older?
Well, what's interesting, this is one of the wonderful things about putting a book together, is that some of these poems, actually several of them, have been published in magazines or in chapbooks in the past. And when I put the book together, I discovered that stuff that wasn't written with that in mind suddenly seemed to fit so well. It's like quilting, Carol. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You find all the, and I'm the kind that still spreads it all out on the floor and crawls around among the pieces of paper, even though, yes, of course I use a computer. I'm not crazy. But, and I have a website. But I'm crawling around and I'm seeing stuff that I wasn't thinking was about that. Now I've quilted it together with these others, and things mean different things than they did before, and they mean differently than they did before, which was literally thrilling when I was putting this together.
Is that the first time that's happened with this particular book, or have you found?
I have had that experience actually even with prose chapters, but with poetry, it's there's a little extra flash of excitement. One of the things I learned when I was putting together my earlier books, which were prose, my first three books are all prose, including the biography of Grace, when I was putting the chapters together, I realized, you know, I could do these in another order. But if I do this, then it means X. If I do this, then it means Z. If I do this, it's LMNOP. And what do I want to do? Mm-hmm. Which is cool, you know?
Absolutely.
And so, as I say, it's not quite as electric as the poetry experience, but it's definitely part of the process of making the work exist in the world.
And I'm finding this very interesting because I would not have thought of that. I know that's what happens to the reader, but for it to happen to the writer as well, very exciting.
Very
nice.
Exciting indeed.
Nice.
Yeah. Gave me a lot of pleasure.
Announcements from the Planetarium by my guest, Judith Arcana. And Judith will be here in early June. We will let you know when she's coming. She's going to be doing a reading at the Astoria Library on 10th and Exchange. And in the meantime, check out her website. Now, did I read that you do a weekly or a monthly program?
Monthly.
Monthly program on Kate.
Fourth Monday of the month, 10 o'clock at night. I want to add one more thing I should have mentioned earlier, and that's that when I first hit town this afternoon, I went to Lucy's Books and actually sold an autographed copy of the brand new book, because of course I told her I'll be on the air this afternoon and I'll be at the library. So Lucy's Books lady, even though we still don't know the exact moment, it's still going to happen.
That's great. That's great. And
so there's one copy right here in town, and I can check out Godfather on the way out.
There you go. And at all our independent bookstores is what you're going for, I see.
Yes, ma'am. Like
obviously.
Independent radio.
Exactly.
Independent presses.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Way to go. Way to support the arts, basically, which supports life, obviously.
Obviously.
So wonderful. I am delighted to meet you finally. We've been corresponding, and although it's obvious we're in each other's lives because we have all these mutual worlds happening.
Yes.
I look forward to your returning. And are you continuing to write? Do you have poems that didn't work here that you're going to put together? We have the Jane poems, but what else?
Yeah,
or the Jane writings.
I don't know that I'm doing any more Jane writing, although there still are a few little bits that I include in readings and performances that are not yet out somewhere, or maybe they're online in a journal that's an online publication. My next book is actually going to be prose, and it's going to be what I call a book-length book, which is to say at least 200 pages, and I've only written like teeny bits so far, and I've got a zillion notes, and this fall I'm hitting the ground running on the prose book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will be in touch. Thank you so much for coming. And did I mention Judith is riding the bus? Yes, I did, because she grew up riding the bus. She's riding the bus back to Portland tonight, but not yet. So you're going to get to cruise around town.
Yes, I'll be in town for the next few hours. Then I'll get on a bus.
Okay, great.
Right.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Carol.
In.
I
wonderful.
Appreciate it.
And congratulations on this beautiful book.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
exciting.
You so much.
Okay. This is Coast Community Radio, and I've got some music for you from Robin Bastier, because she is playing with Lorraine. Lorraine is actually three other people. They're at the Adrift tonight, and then she will be at the Sou'Wester in Seaview tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Lorraine and Robin Bastier.
circles. You speak in metaphor. It's never helped us before. Rhyme with me, speak in time with me. Maybe a truth will fall. Go on, spit out a lie or two. Wash it down with anything to keep you blue.
Robin Bacior, that's B-A-C-I-O-R, together with Lorraine tonight at the Adrift, tomorrow night at the Sou'Wester. And my guest is Sarah Meyer. Now, Sarah, are you a George fellow? Is that what it's called?
I am. I'm a George Award.
George Award. George, that was so exciting.
That was nice.
I really enjoyed seeing your picture, and our mayor, Arlene, was handing you the award, which was lovely. Sarah is here. Let's see which hat she's wearing. Yes, the AAUW, of course. Sarah is the president of our local Astoria AAUW. That's American Association of University Women. And it is the 90th anniversary of AAUW, and there is a celebration going on this coming Tuesday evening, the 23rd, at the Heritage Museum, 16th and Exchange. Wow, that's going to be pretty nice space there.
We're really excited. Three of us met up there this morning with Mac Burns for the second time to look at that great space. We will have 10 readers that we're going to do for a decades play, and we're going to have photographs and memorabilia and a little bit of the fashion of the eras. So we are going to have gowns on exhibit from Larie and
great.
Susie. So we will have nice dresses and take a look at what has been, and even into today, because there's quite a fashion today.
So are people actually going to be wearing these, or
the gowns will be on mannequins?
Yeah, I was thinking, because Larie is about 2 inches around, nobody else fits into her clothes.
That's correct.
Okay.
But many members are going to be wearing hats and accessories.
Oh,
so
we, nice.
All of us readers will be dressed in the style of the day.
Nice. So when people come, should they dress up if they happen to have something from a particular... It could be any era,
it could be
isn't
any,
it?
Because there's 90 years involved.
There you go. So if you want to put on your hats and gloves, that goes back to the Brownsmead. Used to have hats and gloves required. Ladies' tea, hats and gloves required.
That's right.
All else optional. But I think for this celebration, you need to be wearing the rest of the clothes, too.
Please.
Yeah. Okay. What is the AAUW? There are folks who don't know. Although, considering that we just had an election and the AAUW did a wonderful candidate forum, all the Astoria and Clatsop County people were there for
that,
the port.
That really was a great time. I was so pleased that as many people came because we had an interest in what the challenges were for the different boards, and we heard from those folks that wanted to sit on the boards what they were about, and it was really informative. And I was grateful to all the candidates that showed up, and that was everybody except Mike, and it was just super.
It was terrific. And then KMUN broadcast the whole thing, 3 hours worth.
Good for KMUN.
Yeah,
thank you.
Here we are.
I think it takes, you know, that village. To make a community, and we're there.
Yeah, we are there, and you're there. You're all over the place. But tell us now, in addition to the candidate forum, what else? What is AAUW? Because it sounds almost a little bit elitist.
I guess the elitist part would be that we really support education. And early on, a lot of women were, men said that having an education beyond the basics of maybe fourth grade was bad for your health. It hurt your brain. And so we've come a ways from that. But in that sense that we work for equity, we work for education, we work for good health for everybody. So if you don't like that, maybe you would consider that elitist. But if you do, you're right with us.
All right, all right. So, what kinds of things does the AAUW, and has it done over time too? How long has the Astoria branch been?
This is our 90th year. We came
at the Astoria.
May 12th, we started in 1927.
Gosh.
So we're pretty close to that celebration of our founding.
Goodness.
And we had our first gathering in the YMCA, and then we met in people's homes until we helped passed the bond for the library in 1967, and when that happened, we then met in the flag room, and we've been doing that pretty consistently since then.
So did the national AAUW start
in 1881?
1881. Okay. So the 90th of the Astoria branch. I did not realize.
Isn't that exciting?
Yowza.
I mean,
that's fantastic.
A good life.
Yes.
We have raised lots of money for scholarships. We think that you furthering your education is primary to democracy, and so we have been very supportive. We do that now through a Reader's Theater every year, and we've done that with Susie Brown since, I believe it's 86, and prior to that, Edna Packard helped us out.
Wow.
Maybe it's 96. I'm sorry, Susie. So, and we have always been supportive of reading and plays and internally sharing that knowledge and experience with other members. So, and then way back in 27 to about 49, 50, they did a children's theater that they brought in a group from New York City to actually put on a children's theater here. They did a tour. So we've been very supportive of the arts. We do we help out in the library during their summer reading program. We do our candidates forums.
And Wings.
We do Wings every year. And we're going to do it again next early March. That's Women Interested in Going to School. And that's a conference that we have up at the college that is just tremendously supported by this county businesses and individuals. So we offer a chance for women who never might have thought that they couldn't go on to school or they didn't know what it was. They might want to do a six-month training for something and don't know if they can do it, so they can come for a day and get that warm knowledge that yes, you can do it, and there's help out there.
Yeah, supportive. So back to this celebration. It's happening Tuesday evening. Now, this is, am I right? This is free to the public.
We hope that we have a great turnout.
Okay, so this is all age.
All age.
And all genders. And it starts at 7 o'clock, 16th and Exchange at the Heritage Museum, which is a beautiful place. And if you have something special, even if it's just a hat, and it can be from any, in the last 90 years, you got to have something, right? I'm going to dig up something on my mother's, actually.
That it could be fun. And the part that we're acknowledging our history is that members, not so much today, but maybe their mothers, their grandmothers had teacups. And so we're all bringing our teacups to serve our tea and coffee with our teacups, and we will have cake to celebrate 90 years, and that'll be there, and we have the gowns to look at and our own history, and we have lots of good times to share.
And you may find out that there's something that the AAUW speaks to you, and that you wish to join the group or find out more for future joining or whatever. So come along Tuesday evening at the Heritage Museum in Astoria. All are welcome, and it's going to be a good time. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it. Okay. I've got a whole bunch of folks waiting out in the lobby, in the rotunda, from Clatsop College Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery, opened last night. And have a listen first to some music that's going to be at the Sou'wester Lodge on May 27th, and then we'll be right back with you. Sou'wester, May 27th. The Sou'wester in Seaview, you've got to check out their website. They have stuff happening there all the time. Good music, art, everything. Everything. Healing arts. The peninsula is so alive. The Washington Peninsula. By golly, I remember it. When I first came, it was pretty quiet. So it's quite wonderful that so much is happening there now. So much is happening here as well on the Astoria side, especially up at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery. I had the pleasure of catching the art show. I actually went up there the day before it opened because I know how openings are, and I was right. There was a ton of people, and the art is fantastic. It's very, very varied. We want to thank the judges, two of our local folks, Terry Sund from Imogen Gallery, and Christos Koutsouras, who is one of the artists who actually shows at Imogen, and fantastic. I don't know how much came in and how much got up on the wall, but it's packed. Don't miss this, folks. You will enjoy yourself. So I have four folks in the studio. One, of course, is our intrepid Kristen Schock. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Carol.
But she's going to sit back a little today because I have three of the student artists. Now, I'm just looking at them thinking, they're of varied ages. I have no idea how old they are, actually. I know they're all younger than I am, but that doesn't say. Oh, everybody is younger than I am, trust me. But I have Allison Smith. You got to speak. It's radio. You got to say hello.
Hi.
Allison, is this your first time on the radio?
Yes.
Come a little bit closer.
Okay.
Have you ever been on any radio?
No.
Okay. we'll get back to that. Angela, Karen Grizel.
Yes.
Karen Grizel, have you been on radio before?
TV, not radio.
Okay. Oh, she's one up. Radio's much easier. you can kind of wiggle your shoulders and nobody will know. And Angelina Chesteen?
Yes, hi.
Hi. And how about you? Have you been on radio before?
No, I've never been on radio, but I've also been on TV before.
Boy, look at this. We got TV stars and I've never been on TV. Well, that means in this studio I have three radio virgins. Congratulations, women.
Yeah.
You have just entered a new realm of your life.
Yes.
So there is a very rich art program up at the college, and I'm just going to, holy cow, Allison looks like, what, have you taken every art class there is?
Not yet.
Oh, good for you. Are you, now this is a two-year college. Do you get to major in a particular subject?
Well, I'm in the Historic Preservation Program, and I'm going to be graduating this year, but I will be continuing at Clatsop for my transfer degree to eventually go to PSU for Art History. So I will still be around next year.
Good for you. Now, how long is the preservation course?
It's 2 years. You can do a one-year certificate or a two-year associate's degree. So that's what I did.
Okay, and yet you're doing yet another year that you'll mm-hmm. start your courses. So when you transfer, does that mean you'll be a junior or a senior or something?
I will hopefully be a junior when I transfer to PSU to do my undergrad.
Good for you. Did you grow up here?
No, I'm originally from Minnesota, and then I spent 10 years in Portland.
Uh-huh.
And then I've been out here for 2 years.
So did you learn about the preservation program while you were in Portland, or how did you?
Yeah, I found out about it. I was actually looking at the maritime program out here, and then the historic preservation program just resonated with me. Just the history and hands-on aspect of it mm-hmm. is really amazing.
And it's a relatively new program. I mean, we who live here are so excited about that program because it, well, anybody who knows this town knows why this is a town, a town, and so much has been going on, too. Mm-hmm. So you've taken, in addition to the historic preservation work, a life drawing, basic design, graphic design, and then construction drawing. Who teaches that?
That was John Gutenberger and Lucian Swerdloff do that class.
Two of the instructors from the preservation. Mm-hmm. And the other three, I suspect, might be Kristen's, is that right?
She took my life drawing class.
Right.
A superstar.
Okay, great. And then Karen Grizel, you're from the other side of the art. You're one of the ceramics people.
I am.
Okay. And I saw, now, wait a second. Did you do that?
I did. That's mine.
Wonderful. The wave.
The wave.
And didn't that win some kind of?
I got the President's Choice Award.
Congratulations.
I'm so excited.
That's very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. And you didn't know that until last night, is that right?
Right. I didn't. I almost didn't know it altogether. I heard my name and went, what? But,
where is that woman? So, for folks who haven't seen the show yet, tell us what you do and what that piece is, but what other kinds of work you do in clay and drawing as well.
In the show.
In the art.
Myself.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, I little tongue-tied there. I have made historical tiles. I've got a line of mermaid jewelry. And I've taken gallery, which keeps me, that may someday be a job.
So you've been making art and being in the art world for a while.
Long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah.
Just not anybody you would ever know.
So had you done ceramic work before? Was that where your focus was?
No. I mean, that piece is the second piece that I've ever made.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I learned how to work with clay, and I love it. I feel it. It sounds mm-hmm. so artistic.
And what you said, you feel it. It's
really,
not just in your heart. It's in your hands.
It's
the real.
Everything about me is about the waves. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you're living in the right place.
I do.
Where did you grow up?
Initially in Manhattan Beach, California, and then Sacramento.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Well, I was going to say you were on the water, but Sacramento, we know about Sacramento. That's where I spent the first part of my West Coast life. Right in the middle of, you know, between the mountains and the ocean.
Right.
They said, but you're right near. I said, yeah, but I'm not on either. So
yes.
Now you are. Wonderful. And Angelina Chastain, graphic design, photography, and basic design.
Yes.
And you did that piece, that outrageously jumping off the wall piece. Tell us, I know, when I walked in, I saw that, I went, whoa, what is it? What do you do there?
That is a glow-in-the-dark body paint piece. It's a fine art portraiture photography style. And it's actually the images of me. I don't tend to model for myself, but for my final last term, I chose to do a self-portrait series and incorporated a couple of models as well. But it turned out to be a series of images now that I have fallen in love with. That was actually one of a print series that I had made, and there was just not enough room in that show to feature them all, so they chose the best out of the three and put it up, and I'm very proud of it.
So you said you're the model in it, so what did you do, set up a camera and then...
Yes and no. I did some work with a camera on a tripod. Some of the images I took myself fully in body paint and shooting the other model, and then I handed off the camera to my photography teacher, who just basically stood there and I modeled while he took pictures, and then I also put it on the tripod when he had to run off and help other students and took pictures with a remote.
It was just a series of various techniques.
And
had you done that before?
Yes, I had. It was my third attempt at a self-portrait, and the first couple of times it didn't go so well, but by the third time it worked out pretty well. So
well, it and what material are you?
It was all acrylic paints. Glow in the dark paints and neon paints.
Did it say something about metal, though?
It's on a metal print, yes.
Yeah.
And which it makes it kind of iridescent.
It sure does. That's what I mean. It's like jumping off the plate there. Quite wonderful. And you also took, so you had been doing photography.
Yes, I have quite a long history of photography. My mother was a photographer. I took photography in high school. I was at the top of my class in high school. That was back when we were still learning on how to do developments and darkrooms and developing our own film. So I was the last generation who got to benefit from that knowledge. And then I took it briefly in college in Nebraska. And then after I had my firstborn daughter, I did it freelance for a few years. And then my house burnt down and I lost my entire portfolio. And so I took a break from it after working for Sears Portrait Studio for a year and hadn't returned to it until I came to CCC. And so now I finally get to revisit that after, since 2010. So 7 years almost mm-hmm. of not doing any photography really at all.
How does it feel?
It feels amazing. I feel like I'm finally living a part of myself again that I had neglected.
Yeah, and that's great because Karen's shaking her head.
I'm finally where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's in that particular art form, but this is the arts. And Allison, you're coming from it. Do you think about the Historic Preservation Program, because you talked about the possibility of marriage, do you think about it as being involved in the arts? Because you sure as heck are. But I'm wondering, and the people you're working with are. I mean, John's an architect and Lucian mm-hmm. an artist. And
yeah, I think they definitely relate. It's a creative, critical thinking kind of field of work. And yeah, I definitely think they cross paths in that way.
Because I'm wondering, in this day and age especially, but in all time, through all ages, art saves lives. That's, you know, I mean, it sounds trite, but it isn't. It's real, and it's basic. And I, you know, when I look at you and how you've all three of you, you feel as though you've come home to where you belong, as you say. And it's just, I know, I know, I'm about to cry too, but it's true. I mean, it's I can feel the spirit. Now, there's yet another. Okay, so folks, the show is up for a month. It's through June. Oh, dear.
June 9th.
It's actually June 9th.
Good.
No, that's our fault.
Okay, that's fine.
There's a small typo in some of the information out there.
It said June 2nd, and I panicked.
I know, so
it's up through June 9th. Royal Nebucher Gallery, as part of the Clatsop Community College art program. This is the student art show. And sometimes people think of, oh, yeah, students, well, it's a bunch of, you know, go and see this show. And you can tell from talking, from hearing my guests as well, this is really heartfelt, skilled, and beautiful, exciting work. Allison, remind me what your piece in the show is.
I have a few different things. I have two gesture, some drawings from my life drawing class.
Right.
And then I have an ink sort of sketch that I did in basic design. And then I have an exhibition poster that I did,
you did
for graphic design.
Yes, you did the poster for Lindsay, who was here last
year. Yeah, Lindsay B. Logan.
Yeah, he was right here on the show. Lindley, right. And I loved that poster from the first time I saw it. And then there it was. And I went, what's this doing here? And it turns out you're the one who designed it. So fantastic. Okay, before we run out of time, we do want to mention there's something else coming up. And that is, I think we have a combination here. Angelina and Kristen are going to tell you about this. You're going to need to get
way closer.
Okay, so tell us what, because this is June 2nd.
It really is June 2nd.
It's Friday,
yes,
June 2nd,
yes,
which is 2 weeks from today. And tell us what it is. You have about a minute
Jump in and then I'll let Angelina. June 2nd, we're going to have a special Shinrin Yoku art hike, which means forest medicine. We want to encourage people to come up and explore our trail that goes from the lower parking lot up to the column. In my basic design class, we're going to be doing some art installations and performances. I will let Angelina jump in and tell you a little bit about what she'll be doing.
Okay, and this reminds me of Marco Davis's.
Yes, we have to give Marco full credit for his founding.
He did it out at the
He'll be with us.
Quiz Quiz Trail.
Absolutely.
And Ford Classic. Okay.
Yeah, he's also participating in the one on the 2nd. I'm actually going to be doing the archway at the base of the trail as you enter, and I'll also be doing a performance piece where I'll likely be singing and wearing a full costume. So it's going to be a very interactive event. We also have rocks along the trail right now that we encourage people to come out and check out the trail and pick up the rocks, take them home, and come see us on the 2nd.
Okay, now people are listening going, where am I supposed to go? How do they find you?
We have a beautiful little trail. It's just, if you come up to the campus, there's a lower parking lot. You come up, you have to go around. There's a detour, but you go around down the hill, past the art building down below, and there's a little trailhead that goes up to the column there. It's a beautiful little trail.
Okay, so you best is to go up 15th or 14th, take a left on Lexington, go up behind the building, and then come on back down and go into the parking lot. It's a little convoluted these days because construction is being done, but there's that too will be over. Is this going to be written up on the website or something?
We're going to have a press release coming out very soon about this event.
Okay, good. And what's it called again?
The Shinrin Yoku Art Hike, June 2nd. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. It's going to be beautiful. Thank you so much to all of my guests.
Thank you.
Allison Smith and Karen Grizel and Angelina Chastine, my no longer radio virgins, and wonderful art students and artists, and of course to Kristen Schock. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay.
Thank you.
I do want to let you know a couple of things. I have 1 minute, folks. So Get Lit at the Beach is happening. The Tolovana Arts Colony, it starts tonight, and it goes all day tomorrow. And those are, you need to check it out online. Or just go to Cannon Beach. Be ready to pay for those for tonight at the Cannon Beach Community Hall, tomorrow at the Surf Sand. This is fantastic authors. It's a wonderful event. Sunday is free at the Coaster Theater Q&A. Cardam Recycling Trash Art Festival is happening tonight. Tickets are for sale. Maybe there's some left. I don't know. Saturday and Sunday are free, 10 to 4 and 10 to 1 at the North County Recreation District, NCRD. Sunday, there's a party also at Cardam. It's a 20th anniversary party, 11 to 3. Coaster Theater, Barefoot in the Park. Come tonight and you'll see moi. That's all I have to say. It's running tonight and tomorrow night, 7:30, Sunday at 3. North Oregon Coast Symphony at the PAC tonight and Sunday in Rockaway Beach. And the NCRD has Cole Porter's You Never Know. That's in Nehalem, 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday. There is so much going on here. I'm out of time. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5. Thanks for being here, folks. Make activism, make art.